Here I am, nearly at the end of my life. I felt almost everything, knew everything. More than anything, I suffered. I saw, dazzled, the great golden fires of my youth arise. Their flames illuminated my land. The crowds made the starry waves of their thousands of faces dance around me. Their fervor, their eddies, existed. But did they really, in fact, exist? Wasn't all this a dream? Did I not dream that 30 years ago a nation called my name, and that on certain days the most distant of newspapers of the planet repeated it? Tucked away in my exiled sadness, I can no longer believe in my past itself. Did I live those times or not? Know those passions? Raise those oceans? I walk my terraces. I lean over my roses. I discern the scents. Have I ever been another being, other than this lonely dreamer who vainly clutches at memories, frayed like mountain fogs? Wasn't all this something other than a hallucination? I cannot see, far, far away in faded lights, their bodies, as if from a Greco painting, growing thinner and thinner. Did these men who have faded forever from the horizon know me? Did they follow me? Did I lead them? Did I exist? In my memories, as in my hands, I no longer feel that fleeting wind. My eyes, and what eyes should I have? Eyes of desperation? My eyes may search the impassive sky, try to see in the depths of the years, in the depths of the century. What did it mean? The being that I am, in what way is it still the being that once carried my name, who was known, who was listened to? For whom many have lived, and for whom, alas, many have died. This being, what does it have to do with the man who walks, bitter, endlessly alone, upon a few meters of foreign land, rummaging through his past, losing himself in it, no longer believing in it, wondering if it is really he who was tossed 100 times in the tornadoes of an implacable destiny, or if this was no more than a dream? So if I doubt my flesh, my bones, what my public action once forged, if I doubt the reality of my past and the part that I took in a few years of building up the history of men, what can I still believe of the ideals which were born in me, which burned within me, which I projected, of the value of my convictions at the time, of my feelings, of what I thought of humanity, what I dreamed of creating for her? Each human being is a succession of human beings, as dissimilar from each other as the passers-by whose desperate faces we scrutinize in the street. At 50, how do we still look like the young man of 20 whom we were trying to remember and whose survival we want at all costs? Even his flesh is no longer the same flesh. It is gone, has been remade and renewed. No more than a millimeter of skin is the skin of those times. What then about the soul and our thoughts, the feelings that propelled us to action, and the feelings that passed to us like breaths of fire through the heart? How many distinct men do we carry within us, who fight, who contradict each other, who even ignore each other? We are good and we are evil. We are the abjection and the dream. We are both tangled in inextricable nets. But it is not here that the horror of fate lies. The atrocious thing is to break these nets themselves, to throw your soul overboard. The horrible thing is to have to say that the essential in our lives was caricatured, disfigured by 1,000 defilements and 1,000 denials. Who has not experienced these debacles? Some realize their bankruptcy with pain. Others make the observation with cynicism, or with the arrogant smile of those who no longer listen, who are convinced that the knowledge of man and the superiority of the spirit consist in engaging in all experiences, deliberately exhausting the most perverse pleasures, without excessive astonishment and without regret, having found, in the use and in the desecration of everything, information, the condescension and the indifference of an ethics of decomposition free from any spiritual counterbalance. Without a doubt, the world in which we live has become, to a great extent, the world of these amoral people, so sure of themselves. No doubt, those who would persist in imagining a humanity of high virtues may fancy them to be anachronistic beings, non-evolved, glued to old fads, living apart from men, apart from their time, apart from fashion, apart from reality. It was here that I arrived. I had dreamed of a century of knights, strong and noble, all dominating, hard and pure, my banners said. I feel unbalanced with my bundle of old dreams. I know that feelings like the ones I have tried to express can hardly be felt anymore, or even seem painful to some. But I have seen so much, I have suffered so much, that one more bitter thought will not tire me beyond my ability. So, too bad. These dreams, well, yes, I had them. These impulses, yes, I carried them. This love of others, yes, it burned within me. It consumed me. I wanted to see in man a heart to love, to excite, to raise, a soul which, even if it was half asphyxiated by the pestilence of its slavery, aspired to find a pure breath and sometimes only waited for a word or a look to emerge and to be reborn. Let us be straightforward. The right to interject, to use others, the right to moral or spiritual consideration, these I do not have. I know this only too well. I have had my share of miseries, alas, like so many others. And even if I hadn't suffered them myself, I've been loaned so many miseries from others that I can only feel, when I analyze myself, confusion and unfathomable sadness. Yet the spirit of the ideal that throws its fire into this book has devoured me every day of my existence. I should, of course, have left it to others, less affected, the care and responsibility of returning light and song to mankind. But that fire was burning me down. Today, suffocated by a relentless spell, the great fire of yesteryear leaves nothing but ashes. I come back to it anyway, stubbornly, because these ashes evoke the moments of fervor in my life, the deepest impulses, the very spiritual basis of my action. Here they are, disarrayed, delivered to the wind which will quickly disperse them. These thoughts, these dreams are all in disorder. I have not made a plan. It is the height. I did not sit at my table like a distinguished and reasonable writer. I have not written a manual of the idealist, chapter by chapter, calculating everything, measuring everything. Not that, nothing like that. What to do? The impulses of the soul are not graduated like the flow of a gas appliance. Hope, passion, love, faith, pain, and shame dictated to me the writings that I tossed about at such and such a time. Because I felt them then with great force. Sometimes it was at the summit of my public action. Sometimes it was in the abandonment, the mud and the cold of my distant life as a suffering soldier in the vastness of the Eastern Front. But the soul that lived these impulses followed a common thread, invisible to many. It was nevertheless the artery that spiritually nourished my existence. Therefore, these notes are not so much nonsense. They record the ups and downs of a soul among souls, all of which have their ups and downs. Certainly, the spirit which has arrived at the stale wisdom of cynicism can dominate by its cold smile, can display the icy marble of its interior tomb and engrave on them its findings with an impassive pen. But fire, it has many forms. It rises, it lowers, it's reborn, starts anew. This book is fire, with the exaltations of fire, the excess of fire. If only they could have the beneficent heat, if only the souls could find this comfort and vigor, as we find them meditating in the evening, near a large, almost silent wood fire. The waves of its powerful life penetrate, and their radiation and their contemplation. They offer themselves completely. They deliver themselves completely. The gift, the real gift is thus, annihilating until the last brand. For me, my fire is dead. My life is plunged into the abyss, has been submerged by the black dawn that has smothered everything. But I still want to believe that these impulses, which animated the action of a man already dead in the eyes of most, though he has the misfortune to still live for himself, will still be able to join spiritually from here to there in the world. Anxious hearts. I remember three words that I had deciphered one day on a tomb of black marble, there in Dom, in Flanders. in a church of my lost homeland, Etse mortus grit, even dead it burns. May these pages, the last fleeting fire of what I was, burn for a moment, warm for a moment souls haunted by the passion of giving and believing, believing in spite of everything, in spite of the assurances of the corrupt and the cynics, despite the sad, bitter taste that leaves us with the memory of our falls, the awareness of our misery and the immense field of moral ruins of a world that is certain to have no more of salvation, which prides itself on it and which nevertheless must be saved, must more than ever be saved.